Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you. I'm your guest host for this evening, Imam Matthew Ramadan, and we have a special broadcast of Imam Warathuddin Muhammad's vision for our political future, which we're going to share with our guests, with our audience now. Please join us in listening to the broadcast.
That he has for politics, for our political future, and at the same time, he says that he's going to entertain questions this evening so we can make this most successful workshop. Please join me in welcoming Imam W. Muhammad. And we witness that Muhammad, whom the Quran was revealed, is the last prophet, still of the prophet's mission in the Torah and in the Gospel. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. The peace fast and the peace be upon him is what follows for that traditional recognition of the great prophet Muhammad. I hope what I gave you was a football, you know, and I'm kind of I feel a little awkward among politicians. we have some great political figures here with us today from the East Coast. We have Councilman Bilal, and here we have our Councilman Brother Majid, the Chief Majid. And there are others among us also here today. And I feel that these men are firstly committed to Islam and to excellence in their life and in the life of their work. First, they serve to have excellence for themselves and for them whom they serve. I think we should never think any of them would put the political interest over the religious interest. So I hope I clean that up. I tried to. I have a little son. His name is Muhammad. I named him Muhammad. My wife. He named him a name that I couldn't relate to at all. I even read up on the gentleman and still couldn't understand why he had named my son Macmillan. Hal Macmillan of you. He didn't seem to like the name too well. He had gotten older. And the nurse, when she asked me, she said, "What is his name?" Now, this is in the ministry, you need to make this form, and he had an option. He said, "What's his name?" I said, "His mother gave him." They said, "Macmillan, is that his name, Macmillan?" I said, "That's an odd name." I said, "That's the name he gave him." And that's who he came home with, Macmillan. But we called him Muhammad, and he started correcting people. When he was about 2 years old, he started saying, My name is Muhammad. And I noticed he had my mother habit of saying thank you a lot. My mother, she was a very appreciative person. Always saying thank you to anybody that did the smallest thing for her. And thank you a lot. She was always saying that. Thank you, my Savior. She would say thank you, my Savior. So this little fellow here, Muhammad, he has that habit. So I told him, I said, I think your name should be Muhammad Thacker. And he said, Thacker. I said, yes. I said, let me tell you what Thacker means. And I turned it to him. He said, yes. Oh, my name is Muhammad Thacker. Meaning that officer Thacker in Washington. You know, that's officer Thacker and Mr. Brother Jesus Green. We met him and he made friends. And he learned that his name was Thacker also. So he's all excited now. I told him, I'm going to have it put officially on his birth certificate, same thing. I haven't got around doing that yet, but I'm going to do it very soon. And he's all excited. And this is an attribute of God. God says he is the one who appreciates whatever good you do. He is sad, you know, I mean, gracious, appreciative, and all-knowing. And I would like to say thank you, Councilman McGee, and those who work with you, to have me invited here to address this distinguished group of leaders, imams, and public servants. God says, when I have come from, surely I have given you abundance. And God says of Muhammad, you soon drooping and lacking, and God enriches. And another place it says, and he expanded for you your breath. So these references I've given you is to say that God wants us to have just what the Christians believe God wants them to have. And according to the Christian New Testament, they are told that they became so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And God said, and surely, you have been given abundance of us. And from me, you know, and run off. Therefore, you should be devoted to the Lord and work hard to put forth the best effort. And I guess another gentleman out there, his name is Yusuf. And his name is Steve. And when I met him, he told me the attendant for the hotel. Manager, I'm so okay. So, yeah, we didn't have time. But I commented, I told him, you have a good name. He said, yes, you just sing them high level for you. I said, yes, that's what I'm signing for. You. We're dying to have ease in our life, you know? And we have gotten some. Can I give you this clip I prepared for you? I'm going to try to do it in half the time that I expect to see. I'm going to try to do it in 20 minutes. I thought it was this far. I'm going to do it quickly for this. Because I didn't quite know how to fit into the scene. Yes. So I'm on it. I'm on my football list right now. I would like to also let you be aware that who are not aware, and I met the mayor of this city when I was invited here. And Governor Malcolm Maddox was arranged to my visit with the councilman McGee and the local leaders here. And I was so impressed. This is a city, in my opinion, where there is nothing but green lights for most. If you want to do something good, if you want to do something, make a worthwhile contribution to yourself, to your family, to your neighborhood that you're in, and to this city, or to this state, you have green lights in this area. In some places, you don't have a green light. We have yellow light. And in some places, we have a red light. You can't move. So, you know, we take advantage of these situations, the political situations. The people who migrated to this great land of freedom, and I hope I don't sound patriotic in the other sense. I'm dead patriotic, dead serious. I'll put our economy in sugar level. But not in that old sense. I'm not belong to that old idea of patriotism. I belong to a new idea of what is patriotic for American citizens. It includes an interest in pain he be putting in. All that he has that is good for the human life, all of it, to which he gets the benefit of it, that it be open to you. God wants believers in the faith to have the best of all possible worlds. And you heard the expression. The best of all possible worlds. Possible worlds for the righteous. Now, those worlds, I could elaborate on them, and they would include much more than I have on this paper. So I'm not going to go there, Father. But I'm going to go right to a few concepts of worlds. And before I do that, I want to also mention the importance of faith. You know, if you don't have but one room, that one room is called a room. Well, I have a one-room apartment. Do you have a half a room? Don't have a half room. But it's called a room. So that tells us that somebody has kept this language that way because it's so important for human beings to have some room of his own. And God says the earth belongs to God. The earth, it belongs to God, Allah. That's what he told the Quran. And God says in that mosque, the earth is a mosque. The whole earth is a mosque. I don't think that's there for nothing. That's difficult for common man, lay person in religion to understand. That this earth is a mosque? Who makes that? The mosque is your mosque land. You go there to get a speech, a khutbah, a lecture on religion, a sermon. That's what the other religious people would call it, a sermon. That's what you go there for. So how this whole earth come out? That's given in the Quran to let us know that if you properly worship God, you have the whole world in your conscience, and you have the whole world as your living space, your room. The whole world is our room. And we should look at it that way, that Allah made this room for all of us. You have to share this one room with everybody on the planet, but God made them too. This is sensitivity, that if we come into these sensitivities, then we will have a new life. New sensitivities make possible a new life. Old sensitivities deny you a new life. If those sensitivities are not in agreement with the new circumstances of a new life. I mentioned once in one of my talks that you need a climate for progress, climate for success, climate for progress. And most of my efforts, that's what it's been to bring about a climate for our growth. We can't have growth without the climate for it. The environment, the climate, the language, our climate is first decided by the language that we use, you know, how we communicate with each other. Am I saying, when I say I speak, am I saying what you say? When I say it's wrong, am I saying what you say? When I say I love God, am I saying what you're saying? You see? So we can have the same terms, the same words, but be speaking different languages. But if our sensitivities can be made the same, then we will have the same thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I hope so. Yes. So we want the best of all possible worlds. And by that, we want all of the life that Allah created us for. And all of the world that He created for us. And He is Lord of all the world. First, the cultural world. I'm speaking to people here that can help us make circumstances. Help us create circumstances that will favor us having the life we want. That's the job of leaders. The job of leaders is not just to adjust circumstances, but to have a role in changing the circumstances. nails all the time. Like, not too many weeks have passed, because I'm receiving a letter from somebody that I'm used to mail, and they're addressing comfortable life. They're saying, can I be one? This is the reason that he asked me. He said, I can sing. He said, can I be a singer? And Muslim. So I'm happy to hear that question. The first time he said, oh, Muslim didn't ask me that. Most of them think they can get same thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have any bearing on their religion or anything like that. But this is to ask that question, and it's very important. So we should be thinking about getting help for these fine singers and performers we have. The office, singing, playing instruments, or dancing, or decorating a home, or a neighborhood, or whatever, you know. And we should start thinking about decorating neighborhoods. Somebody's thinking about it. Somebody's been thinking about it all along. That's why I decorated the way it is. So we should start thinking about decorating the neighborhood. You know how much the neighborhood decorated. And even before we are in a position to really be responsible for that neighborhood, the neighborhood I'm in, I believe if I have some worthwhile ideas about influencing the cultural picture of my neighborhood, I believe I can take that to the city establishment and they would listen to it. That's how it happens. Somebody thinks in some idea, some plan. And what can work, what they think can work, they accept. And pretty soon they implement. And pretty soon we have that desire or that influence in our neighborhood. Neighborhoods are changing now because of the presence of so many people from Asia and other places. So there, culture is now beginning to influence our culture. And we think all the one new marketplace that I mentioned in there just in Richmond. The one world marketplace is here in America now. And the cultural picture for us as citizens of the U.S. is changing, already changing, and it's going to change more and more. I'd like to see us thinking about making a contribution to the picture of cultural life in America, especially where we live. As a saying in Arabic, al-ilmu sitra ka makshitu al-hajar. And it's not, they call it an Arab father or Arab saying, but we've heard it too. Teach a child when he's young, and it will save him. I think that's one expression. Yes, many expressions of this in America. In Arabic, it means to giving them knowledge to the young while they're young. Giving knowledge while they're young is as engraving in stone. It's like as engraving in stone. We should be looking at our children and what's influencing them, and we should be trying to ourselves make a contribution to the knowledge that they will have in their lives while they're young that's going to influence the shaping of their mind until they go to the grave. In Islam, you know, we have our own mannerism. We can take our mannerism from the madhab, from the schools of thought that have been established before the discovery of America, before the land was discovered, before we have this kind of environment. Those great fathers of the four schools of thought, and even the one in Saudi Arabia now, the Wahhabi school, they take six design after another school. Those schools of thought to not be important to America. And certainly, we can, as scholars, as students, we can benefit from studying those schools of thought, what they said about different things, different situations. And that helps. We build progress to build upon progress. That's our progress in the civil life, in the life of civilization. And it is built upon progress. Our civilization claims a lot, but our civilization is really a continuation of other great civilizations, and mostly Greek civilization, especially when talking about how society is governed. I'm sure you politicians understand what I'm talking about. If you don't, you better come to my school. So we have something called mannerism. But as leaders, we should be defining what is proper behavior and proper manners at home and in the public space and on the work and in the workplace. You see? So these models have a lot of work for us. We are in the same situation in America that Moses and his followers were in, peace be upon the prophets, when he took them out of Egypt and took his study. We are in the same situation. They came from one life and one life system that supported them and told them how to live and how to get and how to do everything, how to eat. So a situation where you have to rethink everything and design it so that it would be not in agreement, not in disagreement with what the Lord wanted for them, Jehovah, they call him, wanted for them. We're in the same position. We now have circumstances as Muslims in America and Israel. Why when people aren't as Muslims, then we are in the same position. We will know we're in the same position that they were in. We are in that position in America. we can get help. We can have, pick on another person's dress. And really, I think that dress is too small for us. We'd be bursting the seams. Yes, we can fix the adapt, the mannerisms, the etiquette of the Saudis, the Bedouins, the people who live in Jetta. We can take their culture and put it on us as a dress. And we know the only like Muhammad said is more important than anything else for him. He says, I'm trying to put you on a new dress. Yeah, and the writer, A.C.H. Mdun from Nigeria, African student who's over here studying for a PhD, he asked Ramadan Muhammad for his study his community. Ramadan Muhammad for his mission to do it. That meant that he could go and interview me, and he did. Interview me and others, anyone who wants to interview Ramadan Muhammad did that. He interviewed Ramadan Muhammad and a lot of followers. And he came to the conclusion in his book that what the Prophet Muhammad was doing was not so much religious or political, that it was cultural. We were trying to build upon the cultural life of African Americans so that we would have a strong sense of identity. And he was correct. He was correct. And that still is a great need for us. Language with no body is a ghost life, isn't it? You got language, but where is your body? Your ghost. Who's going to see you but another ghost? So God wants us to close the garden, okay? He put the man in the garden and he told him what to close the garden. And he turned all the little simple house in the dust. And we see his man address. And the nation of Islam volunteer to keep that dress in good repair. The cloth, the shirt that hangs around the ground. find that the life is missing when it comes here out of the womb of our mother. And it has to be given a cultural dress. And the best cultural dress would be the dress that we design as worshipers of God. God says to the people of Christ, he says that I've given you food and drink. The one who thirsts you and gave you strength, and you will thirst. So that you would have faith travel for your journey over the winter and over the summer. And over the summer. The two extremes are here. The two extremes of climate. Two extremes of the season. The winter and the summer. Two extremes. There's much to be said there, but I'll just cut it very short. When we're enjoying our life and our condition is good, that may be called the spring or the summer of our life. But when we start to worry about it, the conditions are bad, and we start to worry about the future, that could be called the winter of life. But it has reference more directly to the passions of human life, human passions. Human passions tend to go bad sometimes. And what causes them to go bad is affluence or abundance. We start to enjoy affluence or abundance, then our passions go bad. And many times we have the deceiver, another name for the devil, the Satan, have him coming in to serve what he believes to be God. He's a savior. To come in to serve what he believes to be God so that our passions will cause it all to the room that the Satan thinks should be deserved. Okay. So he comes in and he will feed the passion. Unobserved, hidden from view, he will feed the passion and teach the passion to hurry up the process so that the summer won't be 10 years, but only 10 weeks. You see? That's the fate. We tend to get a lot, the human being tends to start forgetting his good life and forgetting his good discipline, and pretty soon there's corruption, and corruption sets in, and then the passions become cold, it's very cold, brings on the winter. So God, if he feeds us and if he gives us the drink, we won't have the trouble of the extremes and the temperature and the season. We will fare well through winter and through summer. This brings us to business, industrial life. Religion in Islam is comprehensive, it's inclusive of all that civilized people want and feel that it's honorable. To have a human life. I hear that some of the men have a concern. They think I should just stick to reading scripture alone. I can't even read scripture without doing what I'm doing. maybe a hymn. Maybe they think I should have a hymn book, an Islamic hymn book. They think I should just stick to reading scripture alone. I can't even read scripture without doing what I'm doing. Maybe a hymn. Maybe they think I should have a hymn book, an Islamic hymn book, and some bigger seats, and that's all. And let it stop right there. But we can't do that. Allah wants us to have also material life and a role in bringing about better material condition for ourselves and for others on this earth. This is what God wants for us. He has created us so that we will grow. E-R-O-W. That's the Islam. It's an expression in Quran. He has created us so that we will grow. E-R-O-W. So if we had a good message, have a good food, and people, the town, something food that said, we can have a fine food, but that's all we have, a fine food and a fine mouth. And we become satisfied with that, Allah will withdraw from you. That's not enough growth. Allah wants us to have responsibility on this earth. And he chooses the human being to have full responsibility under God for everything God created. That's why he didn't stop it. He didn't stay in the earth. The Bible says God. And what we don't know what the learned knows and the high levels of Christian knowledge. We don't know what they know. So we think that instead God, he means that after death. And those that think it has a reference to his side too, they think God only means a good religious life on this earth. But the God includes possibilities for man in space also. In space also. And God says, and he traversed the sky. Did he say it? Those who were trying to get a hearing, they were trying to get a peek into the heavens, trying to get a hearing from what's happening on high. They traversed the sky, did he say? But you will not be able to do it without great knowledge and power. But they say you can do it. They say you can do it. There's your answer. You want to do it? Get great knowledge and great power. The right man got that great knowledge and power. And he can even do it. Some of you probably don't believe it, ain't you? Got that rich man. Who's in your mind on your head? Black magic and superstition. You don't think anything scientific can happen. But somebody said they meditated and met you. Yeah, I know you. I know too. I was there last night. This ain't to criticize anybody. This just is on our problem. We do have this problem. Even us that are healthy and think we don't have a problem. At least you're a bit cautious, a bit concerned, because you're a product of the genes of those people. We have a lot of superstition in there. So we have to be aware that we're subject to be superstitious. We're subject to be doubting promises. We're subject not to give our full faith to what Allah says is possible for us. But in natural life, God evolved the patterns of life. The pattern of life for any agricultural organ or plant is already in seed. The pattern for it is in seed. And when the seed gets the right environment, the seed will release that pattern. And then you see the whole picture that was locked up in that seed. And God says that he has created us as that. Isn't that wonderful? And that's to tell us that all the possibilities that you do for your life, there's not seen now. You're still a seed. You're a grown thing. But he want you to have the full life that He created for you. So we have evolving patterns. We have evolving patterns of ability to have good moral lines and to have good rational lines. And when those patterns are evolved very highly, we see them manifest in a very academic development. We might call a tree of knowledge. Yes. And when the social patterns evolve to this fullness, you're going to see government, and you're going to see government officials. You're going to see that we have the system of government in the United States of America and in other countries, they have that system. But they all systems evolved upon the created life and the created pattern. That's why God says, this is the pattern of system. It's God formed man upon. The religion of Islam is the pattern of Sitra, which God formed man upon. We look at life and we see little children willing to play. We look at the pet animals, the pets we have in our yard at home. We see how those little young ones of the mother are given to play. And if we want to really study them, as a scientist would study them, to see what knowledge we can get out of the study of their play. That is just as a better society for ourselves, our children. We can do that. The books are already written.
You've been listening to another edition of Religion Means Alive with your host, Imam Alfred Muhammad. I'm your guest host this week, Imam Matthew Ramadan. Join us next week with Imam Alfred Muhammad for another edition of Religion Means Alive. God's peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum.